Well, today is our last day in our series, How to Build a Temple. And, you know, it's been quite a journey that we've been on here. We've been 8 weeks in our series. And through this series, there are two main things that I want to make sure that if you don't take anything else away from the series, I want you to catch these two pieces of information. Number one is that God never changes. Just like I was praying, God is the same in all history to current and will be in the future. As we've been looking through our series here on how to build a temple, we've been back and forth from the Old Testament into the New Testament. And in both times, back and forth, we see it's the same God saying the same thing, revealing the same thing to his people, that his love never changes, his faithfulness never changes. And second, it's the truth that whatever God has called you to, he's equipped you for. That if God's called you to a task, no matter how impossible, how challenging, how difficult it seems like it is, he has equipped you with everything you need. Sometimes we just have to go looking for it, learn how to use it, develop a new skill, take a step, take a risk. But this journey that we've been on for the past 8 weeks has taken us through this whole process as we recognize at the beginning that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, do you not know? Again and again, we see it in Romans, in 1 Corinthians, throughout the letters. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? But building and maintaining these temples takes work. And so we looked at somebody else who built a monumental temple project, Solomon. The task was overwhelming, but God would see it through to completion. We talked about how at no matter what age or what stage you're at, we are all called and chosen to build the temple with our lives. God provided for the needs of Solomon. He provides it for us in the manner of the spiritual gifts, used in combination with others for building up our spiritual community. Everybody has a job to do. Everybody has a role to play. Each person has been uniquely called, uniquely gifted, and is uniquely qualified. Now our foundation has been laid, and it's Jesus. But how we build on it and what we build with matters. That's kind of where we left off last week. And that brings us to today. We finally arrive at the point today where Solomon's temple has been completed. I mean, we've walked through and kind of all of the building steps along the way. Those are specific details. And there were specific instructions and processes and equipment and materials and all these things that were needed through the process. But for each way that they built the temple, for each time that they built, whether it was the tabernacle in the desert or the temple of God with Solomon or the rebuilt temple or the temple we build in our lives today, each one of them is unique and has its own unique specifications. So that part is a personal thing that God is working out in each of our lives. But the idea is that he wants us to start to get busy and do the work. And then he wants to see it to completion. All the stuff in between is lived out in our daily life. It's the challenges. It's the work. It's all of those details. And I can't go through what everybody's individual details of their own journey is going to be. All I know is that the same God that calls us to start it will see it through to completion. So we arrive at this point that Solomon's temple is completed, and it is magnificent. All of the reports are that it was unparalleled in its building prowess, in the amount of materials, in the quality of the materials, in the craftsmanship. Every detail had been accounted for. Unparalleled work, right? And all the people had a hand in this project. Everybody had something that they could say, my family contributed this, we helped with this, I was the one who did this, we were the ones who handled that project. There's something about having your hands into the project that you're doing, of having a role to play in it, that takes it from something that you say, that's an amazing project, to saying, I feel connected to that. That's a project I had a part in. That's what God calls us to do, right? He doesn't say, I'm doing a work in you, just sit still and let me do it. He says, I'm doing a work in you, and I want you to join me in that work. He's calling us to be a part of it, because when we have a part in it, it becomes personal. It takes us from just this place where we say, wow, isn't that something amazing, to, wow, that was a lot of work, but man, was it ever worth it. But see, even at its full, back to Solomon's temple, even at its full majesty, at its height, at its peak of completion, still just a building made by human hands, right? Even at that, yes, it's a place that God had equipped the people and brought everything together to make it, but still, it's a building made by human hands. That is, until something extraordinary happens. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at two, I'm not going to read through this whole section, but we're going to start in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, and we're going to end about the beginning of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm not going to read all those chapters, but I'm going to highlight a couple of key features of what happened. So listen here in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, it begins, when Solomon had finished all the work related to building the temple of the Lord, he brought in the gifts, stores them in the treasuries, and then he brings all the people together for an assembly. Okay? It says in verse 7 that the priests carry in the ark of the Lord's covenant into the innermost sanctuary, and they set everything up. In verse 11, the priests left the holy place. All the priests had purified themselves. The Levites, the musicians were there. They were joined by 120 other priests who were also playing trumpets and harps and lyres and cymbals, and they were singing, and the trumpeters and the singers performed together in unison to praise and to give thanks to the Lord. And they sang these words, He is so good. His faithful love endures forever. At that moment, a cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue their work because the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. Solomon begins to pray, to praise, to reflect, to recount God's goodness and his promises and his love for the people. And at the beginning of 2 Chronicles 7, it says, when he had finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven, and it burnt up all the burned offerings and the sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not even enter the temple of the Lord because the glorious presence of the Lord filled it. And when all the people saw the fire and the presence of the Lord, they fell face down on the ground and they worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, He is so good. His faithful love endures forever. So something important happens there. Because what happens is that God's presence shows up. Without God's presence, it's still just a building. We as human beings, as mankind, can build amazing things. With or without God's presence, we can build amazing structures. Whether we give glory to Him or glory to anything else, we can build amazing things. But they're still just things. They're still just buildings. They're still just things made out of rocks and stones and metals and materials. But when God shows up, it changes everything. I told you there were two takeaways I wanted you to not lose from this series. And today I want to add a third one. The first is that God never changes. What do the people say? His faithful love endures forever. Second, whatever God calls you to, He equips you for. And third, the presence of God changes everything. I mean, did you hear what happened when the presence of God showed up? The priests could no longer perform their duties because of the presence of the Lord. Not only that, they couldn't even enter the temple because of God's holy presence. We are so much like this temple. Not only in the wording that Paul used us to say, you are the temple. We're like the temple. We are human beings. We're made of flesh and bones and knitted together in certain ways. We're just people. Yet when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we accept Him into our hearts and lives, something amazing happens. In the book of John, in chapter 14 in the book of John, Jesus writes that if people will love me and obey my teaching, my Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home in them. He says earlier that if you love me and obey my commands, I will ask the Father and He will send another helper. He will live with you. He will be in you. See, something amazing happens when we receive Christ into our life. Though we are just flesh and bones, though we are just human beings, something amazing happens. What happens? The Spirit of God shows up. And when He comes and He shows up into our hearts and lives, everything changes. What? The presence of God changes everything. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ, he is what? That's right, he's a new creation. But you might look at yourself, and say, I don't look any different. From the day you received Christ, the day before that, you look back and forth at yourself and you say, I look the same. My hair is the same. My eye color is the same. I sound the same. I walk the same. I have the same clothes. Everything in my life is pretty much the same. I don't seem new. I don't look new. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, the one who joins with the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. We did a project recently with our kids. It was part of like a Bible study we were doing, but it was a bit of a science experiment at the same time. We decided to make silly putty. You remember silly putty? It's that stretchy stuff that kind of looks like taffy that you shouldn't eat because it tastes terrible. Don't ask me how I know. It tastes a little bit like gasoline and petroleum all mixed. It gets a little... Don't eat silly putty. But silly putty... You put it together with the most bizarre ingredients. You make it with, there's contact cleaner solution. There's borax. There was, forget what else we put in there. Glue. And that's it, right? It gets like three ingredients. It's a very random, and some water and some food coloring. And you take these bizarre ingredients, none of which are goopy or sticky or gloppy or any of that, and you start pouring them into the bowl. And as you start to put them into bowl, you're mixing and you're mixing, you mix and you mix and you mix. And as you start to add more and more of the ingredients in, something amazing happens. They all absorb one into the other. And the ingredients no longer can be separated. All the ingredients are permanently changed. Once you've mixed them together to make the silly putty, you can't say, wait, I want to get the contact solution back. It's part of it. You can't say, I want to just take the color back out of it again. It's part of it. They're forever linked into the fabric of that stuff. And you can think about this in so many different ways. Every time you cook a recipe at home, you do this. This is what happens when God's Spirit comes in and works His magic. And I mean magic as in the mystery, the stuff we don't understand. How does He do it? I don't know. All I know is that when the Holy Spirit gets into our hearts and gets into our lives, he changes everything. We're still the same bodies that we were before. We're still mortal. We're still flesh and blood and bones and all of that stuff. But we're flesh and bones with the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. Do you remember what God asked the prophet Ezekiel as he stands over this valley and he sees this picture of all of these dry bones laying out? And he says, they're very, very dry. And God says, son of man, I want you to prophesy to the wind, prophesy to the bones. He says, can these bones live? And he says, prophesy to the bones, prophesy to the wind. And suddenly he hears a rattle. Suddenly he hears this moving and he sees that the bones begin to join together and the muscle begins to join together with the bones and the sinew and the tendons and everything joins. And then there's flesh on the bones. And then he says, prophesy to the wind. And he breathes on them and the bones live. The presence of God changes everything. The Holy Spirit changes everything. Everything. We're still the same mortal bodies. We're not this new package and everything. We are still who we are. We're still the temple made by human hands. We're still the temple made by the stuff of the earth. And yet, we're so much more. Why? Because the Holy Spirit brings the very presence of God into our midst. And when he does it, all heaven breaks loose. In 2 Chronicles 5, all the way through 2 Chronicles 7, after the completion of the temple, the Holy Spirit, God's very presence, completely takes over. And it doesn't just, he doesn't just come in and take over. He totally disrupts the plans that they had. Don't you think they probably had a big ceremony to do? It says in chapter 7 that the priests could not even enter the temple and perform their duties. What does that mean? They had duties to perform. There was some expectation of this is what we're going to do. This is what's going to happen. But what happened? I'll tell you what happened was a holy disruption. This glorious Holy Spirit disruption. Every night we sing a couple of the same songs to our kids before we go to bed, and we were singing a song that I've sung it I don't even know how many thousands of times now. Jesus loves me. And I was singing the song to my son. He won't mind me telling this, even though I didn't ask him. But I was singing this song to him, and as I was singing, he kept singing just what seemed like very random words interjecting in the middle of the song. And so I'd sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so little. And he would, yes, Jesus loves me, it's Jesus. And I said, I finally stopped in the middle. I said, hey, bud, how come, I said, I love your singing, but why don't you sing the whole song? You're just singing some of the random words. Why those words? And he said, no, Dad. So I'm just singing the holy words. As I was thinking about this, I realized that that's the way God's Spirit works. Is that he comes in and he's breathing on these moments, filling up these opportunities. And sometimes we've got a plan and we're headed a direction and we say, this is what God's called me to do. I'm doing it. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit shows up and all heaven breaks loose. And nothing happens the way we expect it. And everything changes. Can we just pray for those Holy Spirit disruptions in our lives? To just pray for those moments where the Holy Spirit comes in and then nothing's the same? And that our plans just wash away? And instead we're just waiting. God, when will you break through next? I'll tell you another story about an amazing Holy Spirit disruption that disrupted an entire city and changed thousands of people's lives because a group of people were willing to be disrupted, were willing to let God's Spirit come in and completely take over and transform. If you look in Acts chapter 2, the disciples are all sitting together in one place. I imagine if they're all sitting together in one place, they're not just staring at the wall. I imagine they're doing very much what the Israelites and the priests and the others were doing just before the Holy Spirit came and filled up Solomon's temple. I imagine they were praying and they were praising and they were remembering the goodness of God and all of His promises and recollecting all of the things that He had said He would do and reminding Him, Lord, You have said that You... And all of a sudden, isn't that the verbiage? All of a sudden. All of a sudden means they weren't planning for this moment. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God, like a wind, came in and it shook the walls of the place where they were. And all of a sudden, tiny flames split and divided and then began to rest upon the heads. And all of a sudden, they were gifted with the ability to speak in languages they didn't know. And all of a sudden, they rushed out into the crowds of people that were gathered in Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, they began speaking and praising and preaching to the people, and all of a sudden, thousands and thousands of lives were transformed by a holy disruption. I want you to notice the parallel. God never changes. I want you to notice the parallel between 2 Chronicles, thousands of years before, and the book of Acts. It's the same occurrence. The people that had things going could not continue to do the things that they were doing. The Holy Spirit completely takes over. Not only that, fire comes down. But there's something different. And there's something really, really significant that I don't want you to miss. When the Holy Spirit came and filled the temple in 2 Chronicles, there had been a promise made by God. I want to read you the promise. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 15, God says, I will listen to every prayer that's made in this place, for I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be my home. My eyes and my heart will always be here forever. And as for you, if you follow me and obey my commands, laws, and regulations, I will not let anyone take away your throne. It's the promise I gave to your father David. But if you abandon me, if you disobey my laws and my commands, if you go and worship other gods, I will uproot the people of Israel from this land of mine that I have given them. I will reject this temple that I have set apart. I will make it a spectacle of contempt among the nations. And though the temple is impressive now, it will become an appalling sight to everyone who passes by. And they will ask, why has the Lord done such a terrible thing? And the answer will be, because His people abandoned the Lord God and their ancestors who brought them out of Egypt and worshiped other gods instead. That is why He brought all these disasters on them. And you know what? That happened. And it happened exactly like God said it would. And it happened exactly because of what God said would cause it. The glory of the Lord left the temple. The temple became an appalling sight. It was said when the remnant came back and they rebuilt the temple, it was just a shade of its former self. And it said people that had been alive to see the original temple wept to see it. The glory of the Lord had left the temple more than 500 years before, and the people were waiting for the Spirit of the Lord to return. In that moment, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of the Lord returns. the significance of that would not have been lost on people. But here's the thing I don't want you to miss. The Spirit of the Lord does not return to the temple, which was there, which was standing, which was a real place that people went and worshiped. The Spirit of the Lord did not return to the temple. Where did it return? It returned to the church. It returned to the people. It returned to each one of those individually and has continued to this day. Why? Because it's demonstrating that we are God's temple. Do you not know that your body is a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit? What's the response for the people? When God's Spirit come and fills the place, it's praise. What was the response at the day of Pentecost? Praise. Be filled with the glory of the Lord. Be filled with the glory of His presence. Why? Because the presence of God changes everything. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus tells the disciples and the people, you are the light that gives light to the world. You're a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. People don't light a light and then hide it under a bowl. They put it on a lampstand to put light for the whole house. In the same way, you should be a light for other people. Live so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. In other words, live in such a way that they don't see you. They see God working through you. We have to practice the presence of God in our life. We have to practice the spiritual discipline of daily welcoming God more and more, developing that relationship into His heart, into our hearts and life. In a book that a friend of mine gave to me and recommended a long time ago, it's called The Practice of the Presence of God, and it's by a guy named Brother Lawrence, who's a monk. I'm not sure where, but I'm pretty sure this is not an English translation originally. But I want to read you a small passage out of this. Essential Practices for the Spiritual Life. It sounds a lot drier than it really is. Listen. The most holy and necessary practice of spiritual life is the presence of God. And it means finding constant pleasure in God's divine company, speaking humbly and loving with Him in all seasons, at every moment, without limiting the conversation in any way. This is especially important in times of temptation and sorrow and separation and even in unfaithfulness and sin. We must try to converse with God in little ways while we do our work, not in memorized prayer, not trying to recite previously formed thoughts, but instead purely and simply revealing our hearts as the words come to us. We must do everything with great care to avoid impetuous actions. God wants to work gently, calmly, and lovingly. He wants us to work with Him. By this continual attention, we will resist the devil and cause him to flee. The presence of God changes everything. For us, we are partial people. We are still flesh and bones. We are still flawed. We are still going to make mistakes. We are still going to sin. We are still going to need to ask forgiveness. And we will continue to be partially completed temples this side of heaven. God is continuing to work in our lives. It's one of the beauties, right, is that with the temple, they could say, it's done. And then what did they do? They neglected their relationship. But for us, it's never finished. And because it's never finished, it needs constant attention. And because it needs constant attention, we have to develop a spiritual discipline that practices and brings the presence of God daily into our lives so that we are daily growing more and more into God's likeness, developing this relationship with Him, letting the Holy Spirit do His work, joining in His work, using the spiritual gifts that He's given us. And as we learn to abide more and more in Him, and as we begin to see the fruit of the Spirit develop into our lives, the Holy Spirit grows and it begins to take over and it begins to consume. God, consume us. Just overwhelm us. Disrupt us, God. Are we John 3 people? You know, Jesus told Nicodemus that the Spirit blows where it will, and so will all of those who are born of the Spirit. Are we John 3 people? Are we at the whim of the Holy Spirit? Are we ready for a Holy Spirit disruption at any moment? Are we ready for that little tap from God to see all heaven break through? God's ready, and He's willing. He's just waiting for us to be willing participants in His work. I want to close by reading you a promise that Paul writes in Romans 8. It's a contrast between being led by the sinful nature and being led by the Holy Spirit. He says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think only about sinful things, but those that are controlled by the Holy Spirit, hear that language? Consumed by, think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there's death, but if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there's life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God, and it never will. That's why those who are still under control of their sinful nature can never please God. But not so with you. You are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, since Christ lives within you, even though your body will die because of sin, your spirit is alive because you have been made right with God, and the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as He raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal body by the same Spirit living within you. As we get into the Holy Week this week, as we celebrate just the glorious entering of Jesus into Jerusalem, as we celebrate His resurrection, let's make it personal. Let's make it personal in our hearts and our lives. After all, we're not just building some building. We're building a temple that's the dwelling place for our God. Dear God, would You just bless Your people? Would You fill them with Your presence? May the heaviness and the weight of Your Spirit just fill into their lives in such a way that it consumes everything. And then, God, would You just fill them with lightness and peace and with joy and praise? Lord, may we be like the people. May we say, You are good. Your faithful love endures forever. Lord, bless Your people. Go before us. Go behind us. Walk beside us. Help us to be attentive to where You're working and to join You in Your work. In Jesus' holy name, amen.